They were focused on, you know, performing arts in general, singing, dancing, acting, all the good stuff.
Yeah, what is your morning routine like?
I sleep till I'm not tired anymore.
You sleep till you're not tired anymore?
I mean, work has helped me have a morning routine.
Okay.
You know, you wake up, you get on the train, and probably not awake till I arrive at the station that I need to go to, but that's okay.
Right.
I think I always have like a buffer until I wake up. I try not to be on my phone until I'm like, you know, more cognizant. But, you know, sometimes it's so automatic. You're just like, oh, good morning. What's up with the world? But, yeah, that's my morning routine.
I am speaking with Sabrina Hunter. She works here at the American Club, and that's why I've been doing most of these podcasts so far. She was helping me earlier, telling me that she likes the way the podcast is, and I was asking her some advice on it because I want to get this to be better. I need more of you to subscribe. I need more of you to watch this all the way through. All these exciting lives I have, over 300 different episodes. Please, not only subscribe, but start watching the podcast and pass it on to your friends and neighbors. And if you have any advice for me, Laz, as to what you want to hear, what kind of people you want to have on the podcast that you know here in Tokyo, that I have access to, which is almost everybody. A lot of people, because of the club, I have access to people that most people wouldn't have access to. So let me know in the comments down below who you want to see. And without any further ado, let's talk with Sabrina! Yeah! Sabrina, you got up really early this morning to come here and do this.
Just a little early, nothing different than usual day.
Okay. Where were you born?
I was born in Yokosuka, Japan.
In Yokosuka, Japan?
Hi.
Okay. So, your mother's Japanese and your father's American. Was he in the service? But he had to be in the Navy.
Hi.
Okay.
He was.
Did he do, was it full time? I mean, did he stay?
He was. He enlisted right out of high school, actually.
Okay.
So, he did 20 years in the Navy.
All right.
He retired when I was about middle school. And then he joined Army as a civilian contractor.
Couldn't get out of it. People call him back. I got to go to the branch.
He more so didn't want to get out of Japan, I think. Mm-hmm. And he loves it here so much. He's lived here longer than I have, you know. And so, yeah, they love it here. My mom loves it here.
And they're both doing well?
Yeah, they're doing well. My mom's still here. She's taking care of the house. And my dad's actually living in Hawaii right now.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're a contractor, you can only be overseas for so long, and then they send you back to American soil and yada yada. So he's over there in, you know, Hawaii, the last person who wants to be there. He gets very hot very easily, so he misses the seasons. And
so he was, if he could, he'd be here if he had his
druthers. He would be here.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have one brother, and he's over 6 foot, but I'm older than him.
Okay, by what? By how many?
5 years.
5 years? Are you guys close?
I think we got closer post-college, post-my-college. Mm-hmm. When we were in high school and middle school, you know, we used to bicker a lot because we didn't want to share the chores, and we have cats at home, and so helping take care of them or, you know, taking out the trash, the simple things. You know, they're like, it's your turn today, all of those things. But now that we've had time apart and, you know, we've kind of bonded over how we grew up, I think we became a lot closer and, you know, more of an appreciation, like, for each other and what we went through kind of thing. And so, yeah, we do talk on occasion. And now that he gets to live on his own, he's over in Washington. But
is he married yet?
He's in his second year of college now.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's figuring out life how he is, and I'll check him on and occasionally, or, you know, he'll message me, or we'll talk over social media, like, hey, did you see this? And so, it's sweet. Yeah.
So what was it like for you? How long were you in Japan? You grew up, you were born here in Yokosuka, so how long were you here before you left, or did you leave regularly?
So I was born in Japan, and we lived here and there for a while. We also lived in Okinawa for a couple years. That's where my brother was born. But after Okinawa, we moved back to America, to Washington State, and I did all of elementary school there from first to fifth grade.
So you really didn't know Japan that well. I mean, you were, your first language, I'm sure, was Japanese.
I think so, but at this point, we're not sure. Because since my dad worked on base and my mom was working at the time as well, I went to the preschool on base as well, you know, the child care.
So you didn't get any of the Japanese
indoctrination, really? Yeah, I went to Japanese elementary school for, you know, like 6 months or for first grade type of thing. So I think I was very much in the middle. So when I went to first grade in America, I was in ESL for about 3 years or so. Which, you know, at that age, you're like, what's even ESL? I'm going over here to read, you know, these books with some friends. Sure, that's fun. And so they made it so simple and, like, you know, not to exclude you, that before I knew it, I was speaking with everybody else and it was okay. And, yeah, and I think that's where I was fortunate enough to not really have an accent, per se. But after elementary school, we came back to Japan around 2010.
Okay, how old were you then?
11.
11 years old. Okay, you remember.
So, and then what else here? Oh, we came back, and then since we were did all of our primary school in English, couldn't really jump into, you know, Japanese school for the reading and writing. And so I went to school on base, and that's kind of where I finished the rest of my school.
Going through on base. So what was it like for you coming back to Japan? And you had people here that weren't even Japanese, that spoke more Japanese than you did. What was that like?
So my grandparents, my mom's mom and dad, they only spoke Japanese. And so when we came back, I was at the age, you know, sixth grade, middle school. Like, I loved TV. I loved, you know, watching the news, just watching everything. And most of it was in Japanese. And so that's a lot of where it came back. And then going to school, there were a lot of kids who were just like me, you know? They were half Japanese, they were half American, half something else, from somewhere else, from here. And so kind of making those friendships with people who grew up in similar ways helped bring that language back. Mm-hmm. And watching TV helped bring that language back. And, you know, just being immersed back into the environment helped. Granted, I didn't study the reading and writing till high school. You know, they're like, mandatory language. Well, I know part of it, so why not? And so I think I was very fortunate to be able to, you know, get back into a little bit of the base.
When you were living in the States, did you ever come back for vacation to see your grandparents at all? Or was it just a straight stint all the way through?
We might have.
But you don't remember.
Once or twice. I don't remember too much. I know when we were back in America, you know, we visited my dad's family more, you know, over.
Where are they from? Where's your father from?
He's from Washington State, okay. A little bit more local, a little bit more north, maybe like a couple hours from Seattle.
Right.
A lot of his family live over in Lake Stevens now, a big military community as well. But they lived a little more inland. And then when we were in Washington, we lived really close to Oregon. And so, you know, we got to experience both of those in the Pacific Northwest and, you know, love the nature.
That's right. That's what you have plenty of it up there. I'm from California, Los Angeles, Southern California, yes.
You know, in Riverside.
And my mother lives in San Bernardino.
I stayed in Marina Bay.
Okay.
I stayed near Marina Bay for a little bit with a homestay, and I also went to college in California for a very local performing arts school. But Riverside.
Is that what you went to school for?
Mm.
All right. So when you left, when you finished here at Yokosuka, when you finished school there, you went to the States to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Which college did you go to?
So it was called the Young Americans College of Performing Arts.
Okay. Where's it located?
It's located in Corona, California.
Okay.
Near Riverside, near Orange County type. They were focused on, you know, performing arts in general, singing, dancing, acting, all the good stuff. And it was a shorter program, and we were a smaller school, but I think it was really great. Being the firstborn in my family to go to college, it was, you know, a different experience, but at least it was something I wanted to do. Because, don't get me wrong, I loved school. I love science. I love, you know, not math so much, but I do love science and other things. But learning was, you know, never my strongest suit. I loved dancing and, you know, being forward and having fun. And so that kind of squished everything together into school.
Don't you think it has a lot to do with the teacher? as to what subjects you like?
For sure.
Because I had a math teacher that was just phenomenal. And when you have a good teacher, it doesn't matter what they're teaching. You'll pick it up because they'll make it palatable for you. Makes a big difference. So what made you decide to focus on, I could see that if you didn't have teachers that were really focusing on the academic side or the math side, to say forever, you'd go to dance and art, you'd go to the arts.
Yeah.
You would. Were you also involved with sports? What kind of kid were you as a little kid? Were you more academic or were you more sports minded?
I think when I was very little, they really tried to, you know, get me into like a little bit of studying math, the like traditional Japanese, like after school you're still studying type of thing. But when we moved to America and whatnot, I was like, Mom, I want to do ballet. We had seen a performance together. And apparently, I don't remember so much, but she's like, you were like, I want to do that. And so, you know, then we did a little bit of that and we came back here and did a little bit of that. But going through like a public American school system, you know, you want to do the sports that everybody's doing. And so on our military base, I got to do some cheerleading, some soccer, mostly around there. I wasn't good at ball sports, but that's okay. You know, soccer has a lot more running than dealing with the ball. So,
that's true. So I'm going to try to do something new here.
Hi.
Asking you questions like, for example, if you had to choose anywhere in the world that you wanted to go, where you like that, huh?
Yeah.
Where would you go?
Where would I go?
And how long would you like to be there?
I think being able to live or stay anywhere for at least a year is like, fortunate, you know, if that's something that you can afford, then that's an incredible experience. At least 1 year, you know, even though it might feel like a blink of an eye, like that's something I would love to try. I've had a small taste of Europe. My dad worked in Greece for a little bit, so we got to visit for a summer. It's gorgeous there, you know. I would love to go back to places like that, but not all places are economically the best for living, right. You know, and so a lot of places.
Let me change this up a little bit, just for a second. I'm making new rules for this.
Okay.
Money's not the issue.
Okay.
You have no money worries whatsoever. You have plenty of money right now. Mm-hmm. Let's say you just won the lottery.
Yeah.
And you know for the rest of your life, you'll have an expense that will afford anything you want for the rest of your life, starting now. What would you do?
Where would
you go? What would you have? What would you buy? Give me some of that. Let's start off first with all your bills are taken care of. You have no more bills. Would you move from the apartment you have now?
So I'm living with my mom.
With your mom, okay. So what would you do?
I'd definitely move. But I think before I moved somewhere, I would definitely, as cliche as it sounds, I would want to go back and take care of my parents.
Okay.
But I think that's something that I haven't had the luxury of doing yet.
Right.
Because they've always been so, we want to do this with our kids. We want to do this together. And I think I would go there first. You know,
now, what's taking care of them? What does that mean?
I think they've sacrificed a lot for both me and my brother, especially my dad enlisting, like right out of high school. I think, you know, they love traveling, but there's a lot of traveling they haven't got to do, or, you know, a lot of things that they didn't get to experience, you know, just working. And so I'd love to give them that luxury of, you know, going places that they never got to see, because I know that that's what they'd want for the both of us the most, you know, to see the world and see different people and experience that as a family. And yeah, if money wasn't an issue, I'd take them anywhere, you know?
Okay, so after that, what would you do?
What would I do after that? Of course, I love performing and I love education as well. Especially, I think when you're young, you just soak in so much. And I think back on the performing arts program that, you know, I ran into. And I ran into them when I was still in elementary school. And to have continued that and then ended up joining them, I think it's okay to consider it as a big part of my life. So I just think that anybody growing up, any children should have the accessibility to, you know, do what they want and experience what they want, whether that's dancing, whether that's singing. Like, there should just be so much more exposure for them. And of course, that's dependent on like the community you're living in, but I really think that there's a way to just make that more accessible for them. Whether it's YouTube, you know, there's so many more like dancing videos on YouTube. Let's learn together. And I want to be able to take that to them, you know.
About, so you try to facilitate that some way financially. Mm. Okay. You're living. Where would you live? Where would you move to? And what would it look like?
I feel so safe here.
Okay.
You know, in Japan,
when I said move to, I'm thinking, I figured it would be Tokyo. But what type of apartment would you move into? Or home? What would you do? Money's not an issue. Would you move into Roppongi Hills? Would you move into, you know, some place that's smaller, shorter? What would you do?
I think I'd want to say within my lifetime, I want to be able to like someday say, oh, I've tried all of those things.
Okay.
You know, I've tried living in the most expensive. I've
but
tried living the most minimal.
Let's start for right now. You
yeah.
have money now.
Yeah.
Where would you move to?
Where would I move to?
How big of your apartment would you have? Would it be an apartment, first of all? How big? Would it be one bedroom, two bedroom? Would it have one bath, two baths?
If I didn't have to think about
anything,
an issue. At least a two bedroom, because I always love to have my friends over, you know?
Okay.
I always love to have a place where it's comfortable and it feels safe and, you know, I can invite my friends over and we can just spend quality time together. So at least a two bedroom, you know,
right.
So that, because I'm so used to being, you know, at least far enough away from Tokyo that if you're out, you're out, you know? And so...
I know that feeling.
Knowing
when you're out, you're out. So no need to try to go back now.
So knowing that, you know, I'd always love to just have a place that we can gather at, especially knowing when we lived in Washington, like our family would be close, you know, we would gather at this place, and I'd love to have a place like that where my friends could, you know, come so easily.
Would you have your own car, or would you continue to use public transportation?
In Japan, I wouldn't mind not having a car. Over near my house, like, we have very accessible trains, but I do still enjoy having a car. And
so would you get one? What kind of car would you get?
I like the small car that I have. I'm not much into, you know.
So you just say you wouldn't spend any money on getting another car?
No, I don't think so. Okay, I like the one.
I hear.
You know, the streets are small here. You got the small car. You can get anywhere. Luxury cars are nice, but I think they're great for just looking at.
Now, another question. What is it about you that you can tell us that no one else would ever know?
I like being sentimental. I like being... I mean, I don't want to say I like being sad, but I'm okay with being like in my feelings. I feel, I guess, comfortable there. It feels, you know, the most me and vulnerable. And, you know, most people are like, I don't like listening to sad music or, you know, but I enjoy that. I enjoy knowing that I'm human and I get to experience those. And sometimes in the moment that's, you know, it feels devastating, but then you get out of that, and I don't know. I think it's beautiful. It being able to go there allows me to be the bright and, like, you know, excited and happy self that I am when I am. And so, I do very much enjoy being sentimental and, you know, going through those emotions.
Give me your favorite book, favorite movie.
I love Studio Ghibli a lot. It's gorgeous. I love the music. And so my favorite movie, hands down, has to be Howl's Moving Castle.
One more time?
Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, yes. Yes. Howl's Moving Castle.
I think it's gorgeous, and I really love the music in it. It's so dreamy
it's a cartoon, isn't it? It's a cartoon. I saw that. Right. I remember seeing that. That was very good.
I've
seen it a long time. Yes.
I definitely haven't watched...
And they dubbed it in English as well, so you can watch it in English. Yes,
they did. They're both great. My favorite book. I haven't read a lot of books since I was younger, but I did really like...
Do you listen to books on tape?
Not so much. Okay. I really liked reading... There was a phase in high school that I enjoyed reading, and it was The Maze Runner. I liked the mix of, you know, reality but fantasy type of thing. But if time allows, and, you know, I definitely want to get back to reading. I like getting, you know, stuck in there, and then it's great too. But yeah, my knowledge in books isn't
okay.
out there.
Your yet. Favorite genre? Mm. Do you like horror? Do you like drama? I'm pretty sure you already said, but still, what do you enjoy?
I think I enjoy a wide range of, you know.
But
all
what's
of them.
Your go-to?
What's my go-to? I think I do like action and adventure. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because it's so common right now, and that's what you see at the forefront of everything, mm-hmm. you know. But I think Japan also does a very good like lifestyle type of, you know, film as well. It'd have to be adventure or action mm-hmm. or, you know, drama.
What do you see yourself 5-10 years from now?
I've been trying to tell myself recently that no matter what I'm doing, as long as I can tell myself or I can look at myself and be like, I'm happy right now, I'm smiling, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, then it can be anything, you know? Like I think my life kind of turned around a lot this year. Went through so many different things, and you know, to somehow end up working here as well, which it really just like showed up in front of me, and I was like, sure, I'll go for it all. You know, I've, you know, never had that many like official jobs, but well, why not? You know, we'll see what this job, you know, has to do. And it's
how did you find out about this job?
So you know the summer camps they have here. So.
I think I saw you taking yeah. some kids, yeah. and then from that it led to getting a room. Okay, mm-hmm. that's it.
I met Miss Raina last year or so, and mostly I was working through the summer camps, but I got to help a little bit of the operations and service last, you know, November, December in our busiest season.
Yes.
And I loved it. I had never gotten to work something like that, and again, getting to meet so many new people, which right. I enjoy, and being able to use English, you know, mm-hmm. in an environment, but also use Japanese. And I've always loved kind of bridging that gap in between Japanese and English. And so it felt great, you know. It felt like I didn't have to be somebody else. I was just me right. meeting new people, you know, helping these people kind of thing. And so I enjoyed that. I think that's exactly what I'm still doing.
That's right.
Now.
It hasn't changed much. Mm. But you couldn't have come in through a better person. Raina's fantastic. Mm. Her and her husband are both really good people. We were really fortunate to have them here at this club. Yeah. That's really good. And you now, because she's good at picking people. She's fantastic. She's really, really good. So you've been here not that long. You've been here for a couple of months then, actually.
I think officially 2 months.
2 months, okay. Officially 2 months. Couple, I got that right then. A couple of months. Okay, let's think. What is some of the things that are most memorable to you, let's say when you were young, that it might have happened in your life that you recall every now and then? They don't have to necessarily be traumatic. They could be joyful. I don't know. It depends on you. But what do you recall?
I think I remember hanging out with my friends a lot. Being
at
in
what
America,
age is this?
Elementary school.
Okay.
You know, like riding your bike around, or being in a community that, you know, you could ride your bike around. Or aside from hanging out with them, I think I did do a lot of ballet, and I remember that a lot, and going through a phase of like, I don't really want to do ballet right now, you know, but it was still great to continue it, middle school, high school. But I look back at high school and I'm like, I don't remember that much of, you know, like studying was fun at times, but there's just so much time that you spend with people that I remember more of that, like the small events we did at school. Or I eventually, you know, loved doing student council or helping plan those events, which is funny to say now that I'm still planning events. But yeah, I think I remember more of definitely that quality time with my friends and getting to know them as people. When I was a lot younger, I do remember spending time with family a lot because we were closer. Even being in Japan when I was still in high school and, you know, my dad was still working over here, we definitely visited my mom's family often, you know. We try to get together at least once a month, and those connections were definitely very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you're still single?
Yeah.
Any intentions of getting married?
Someday.
Someday you would?
But if I don't, I don't, you know?
So you're not concerned about or interested in, I mean, it doesn't matter not to you if you have children or you don't care?
I used to very much think that I was like, oh, I want a family, I want, you know, children, I want this, because it was very much in the culture, you know, especially in the military, you know? Right away, you get married, you have the family, you know, you do the thing, and I was like, sure, I'm down. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But then I realized after working a little bit, after, you know, getting to do my own thing, I'm like, this is okay too. Like, I'm allowed to not have a family right now. I'm allowed to, you know, enjoy my own company right now. And so I'm not as pressed about it anymore.
That's interesting. That's really interesting, because it is, I think we are very much affected by the culture we happen to grow up in, in those impressionable years, and more by the people we're around. Mm. That's our culture. So you're dealing with them, and you tend to, if you got with people that were getting married, you probably would have gotten married. Mm. If you're getting with people that aren't, that are enjoying themselves and their lives right now, you say, hey, that looks good. They're having a good time, so why would I want to? I don't want to do that over there. I want to do this. Mm. So where do you see yourself? I went through the 5 years, but you didn't get further. So what are you going to do? Let's say you work at TAC for another 3 or 4 years. No one knows what's going to happen.
Yeah,
that's why they're convincing people now. Don't write a business plan. Just decide what it is that you really want to do, and start working towards that.
Yeah,
because having a plan is almost like you can't even pick a stock. Mm. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but you do know that you have to do a certain things. Mm. What do you think those certain things that you have to do, regardless of what your plans are? What do you do for yourself, regardless of what plans you have, let's say, to make sure that you're ready for whatever may come? What do you do for yourself? Let's say mentally and physically.
Yeah. Taking care of myself mentally has probably been a bigger point that I'm learning within the, you know, past couple of years. I was so used to just going at the pace that was thrown at me and, you know, rolling with it because we needed to. And it was fun, it was great, and I think I very much learned to be a people pleaser, that I went with it, you know? And it was okay with me until I realized that, oh, there's a certain point when it is too much. And finally being able to recognize that in myself.
What did it take for you to recognize that? That you can tell me.
That I can say.
I see that mind going away from it. Okay, I'm not going to say, but go ahead.
I think it was being forced to step away from the situation. Unfortunately, like I was so in it, and you know, things happen, and you got to walk away sometimes. And once I was away from the situation, I was like, this was really fun, but I'm okay with doing something else now. You know, I had that time when I enjoyed, you know, just doing, like living the really, really fast pace, you know, dancing every day, and, you know, just being, you know, of service and helping. But it's such a luxury to be able to step back and, you know, not have to rush, because we are so much in the, you know, gotta work every single day, gotta get ahead. But I'm like, what am I trying to get ahead of now when I'm leaving myself behind, you know? And so.
So what do you do to nourish your mind? How do you?
I think physical activity when I can. Like, I enjoy yoga, I enjoy being in nature and going on hikes, and so I miss Washington
so
much.
That's how you
play it. Yeah. Or spending time with my friends. Definitely. That quality time, I think the laughing together, those are really.
And that's pretty much understood with your friends, that we're not here to stress about politics or what's happening in your personal life. Let's have some fun. Is it that type of thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it unspoken understanding, or is it something that you guys have talked about?
I think there are friends that we have talked about it, and there are other friends that we just click and we go with the flow.
And they know not to.
More than I. But I think also I try my best to put that environment out there. You know, like, I think I used to be more so like, oh, we gotta set a plan, or we gotta, you know, but then I realized like, well, what's the point of setting a plan when you're gonna show up and things are gonna change, and you know, it, you just go the flow and you'll okay. be okay. It'll work out. Right. You know?
What do you do physically to take care of yourself? Do you take multiple vitamins? Do you exercise regularly? Do you walk?
As much as I'd love to exercise regularly, because I used to dance so much, and my body definitely misses that.
And what type of dance?
I started with ballet, but you know, hip hop, street dance, anything in that form.
Do you have your splits?
Yeah.
Straddle and straight?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you do any gymnastics?
A little bit. There wasn't so much of the opportunity around me, but because I did cheerleading and I had an incredible coach who was, you know, very talented in gymnastics too, we got a little bit of that training, and you know, I worked on that back handspring for a while. The muscle's in there somewhere, but you know, got to gain that core strength back. All right. And so I do love exercising in that way more, but more so, I'm remembering now, I really loved lifting in high school. I had a great PE teacher, and I genuinely enjoyed lifting weights, and I think I missed that more. And I tried to get back into it a little bit when I was working in a separate part of Tokyo, but you know, living outside of Tokyo, just, you lose so much time in the commute, and so that, if there's one thing that, you know, I, because after starting, you know, back here and having a pace again, it's the first thing I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to be able to go to the gym and have that time for myself. But, you know, after a month or so of that commute again, I was like, maybe it's not something I have time for. I'll prioritize sleep, you know. Right. And then I prioritize sleep on my days off, or, you know, or having fun with friends. And so it's more of a conscious, oh, I have enough energy to, you know, do a push-up here or there, or maybe a plank here or there type of thing. But I would love to have the luxury of, you know, going back to the gym and, you know, lifting heavy things per se. Mm-hmm. I think because I grew up doing ballet, I very much understand just portions of my body, or understanding, you know, how things move. And I was also interested in, you know, physical therapy and things like that. And whenever I would like give my mom a shoulder massage, or you know, or when her calves are tight, and I understood, because I understood my body, and you know, I understood stretching growing up. And so having that knowledge and kind of just putting it together with lifting, and you know, naturally being good at it, was a big confidence builder. I think I missed that a lot. Yeah.
So what's your generation going through right now?
Especially in Japan.
Okay, because you're in your early 20s, right?
Yeah, early mid-20s, and right. You know, some people are getting married and some people aren't getting married. And you know, the culture, you say like 10, 15 years ago was, this is the time to get married, this is the time to have a family, you know? And so you're still young enough when they're grown or something, but I think there are more people now my age who are like, it's okay not to get married, you know, I'm gonna do me first. And I think we're right, it feels as though we're right at the cusp of having both of those. And you know, I have peers who are married, who have a happy family, and I have peers who aren't. And you know, they're doing them, they're enjoying their life. And I think we're right in the middle of that, which both are beautiful, you know, and you can be happy in both. And so.
That's so interesting. So what about the gender issue that the U.S. more than any other country is pushing? Mm. How is that affecting your generation?
I think our generation
here in Japan. Is it an issue at all?
I do think it is an issue. You know, it's very clear that not everybody is as open or as willing to the idea. Or you know, I even grew up in a community where the people around me were like, "That's okay, but not around me." You know, and I used to be like, okay, well, I don't quite understand that yet, but maybe I will. But like, that, you know, you can't say that's okay, but not around. You know, it invalidates the whole thing. And I think that's a huge mindset of people here. They're like, well, that can exist, but not, you know, where I am. And I'm like, well, why not? You know, like, how can you say that? you know? And I think if that mindset could just get thrown out the window and, you know, you can let people live how they want to live, then I would be, you know, just a better place. I just hope that, especially now, like, more of the youth are okay to feel open, you know, and confident. Because I know even in my middle school, high school years, it was still kind of taboo. It was more okay. We started talking about LGBTQ plus, you know, we started talking about it, but it's not like everyone was okay with it. It's not like everyone was allowed to talk about it, you know? And so, especially in Japan, they're so much more behind. And not to be rude about it, but they can move forward so much quicker, you know? We pick up on so many things so fast, why can't we also pick up on this one?
So you think in Japan it's not really accepted yet, or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think there are both views and it's becoming more accepted. Not as much as America, you know? I think it's talked about more. I don't think it's talked about enough here.
I see what you're saying.
You know, the community.
That's when the change is gonna
yeah,
take.
Yeah, the community exists and, you know, people who want to, you know, open the conversation are there, but I don't think it's being talked about enough.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. My generation, of course, it wasn't accepted at all.
Mm.
I mean, they gave jackets to people like that with long sleeves and had them hug themselves and they strapped them in the back. They took them away. I'm listening to more younger people now and I'm starting to feel, I talked to some ASIJ girls that are just high school who were here for that event they had in the ballroom. And I asked them about the question because it's something I'm not understanding.
Mm.
But I think I do. The more I hear it, I understand. They said something to me. They said, it's not going to go away.
Mm.
The cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
So you might as well get on the program.
Yeah.
My fear as a kid was I thought that people that had the same sex drive or same gender interests, homosexuals and lesbians, I was fearful of for a bit, thinking they're trying to get me. I'm not their type. No, that was the fear. Some guy's going to chase me and get me, you know. But I'm not their type.
Yeah.
They have a type too.
Of course.
And as I'm getting old, I'm starting to see that.
Mm.
All of them don't like each other. Mm. It's just like anything else.
Yeah. It's no different.
And I think we can allow that. And I think we've come to the stage now with the access to the information we have access to, which is instantaneous, that there is no fear. Allow them to be. I don't like having it pushed on me.
Yeah.
That's the part I don't like, and I don't like it being pushed on kids. Especially when they think they have to medicate them.
Yeah.
Why, if a child feels they're an eagle, you start giving them eagle serum? Let them find out that they're not.
Yeah.
Because they're going to jump off some building someday because they have all this eagle serum in them, thinking they can fly and kill themselves and regret that thought.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing ourselves a big disservice by making that something kids have to start thinking about.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think it should be something that's like forced upon
them.
That's
what it is.
But I think it should be accessible if they want. I think the only reason I think it should be more accessible is because I think back on when I was growing up and, you know, I grew up where it was like, but that's not okay. You know, like, it's okay, but that's not okay. And so I was like, okay, that's fine, I guess. I don't really have to like tap into that right now. But then, you know, growing up post high school, post college, I'm like, there was no reason for me to be feeling that way, you know? Like, if I want to feel how I want to feel, then that's okay too. And so I think just feeling like I couldn't express that was, you know, maybe something that didn't have to be. Yeah. And so.
See, that's what I'm saying. You shouldn't do that to kids. Stop making them want to jump and do those things that they don't, because sometimes they will regret it. It's like drugs. You tell them you can't take it. Go ahead. In Europe with alcohol, they don't make it a big issue.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have as big a problem as the U.S. does.
No, I really don't.
Because they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They have a glass of wine when the kids are young. And they start to like it, but they learn to control it too. In Texas, kids learn how to shoot a lot earlier than other people do. So they know how to deal with a gun.
Yeah.
It's not, they're not going to do something silly with it. Mm. They learn how to clean it and work with it because it's a part of their life. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying. I agree with those girls I heard too. The cat's out of the bag. You might as well get with the game and go with it because it's not going to change how I feel inside.
Yeah.
You know, that's always evolving, but it's not going to really change it, I think. Mm. So
you're only uncomfortable because you don't know, you know?
That's what makes everyone uncomfortable. Yeah. And you're never going to make everyone, I think they're out, they have a stage right now, particularly in America. Mm. But there's other countries, they're not going to have a stage, they don't have a stage. Mm. And they may never get a stage in some places. Mm. But that's for everything. You're not going to turn some countries into eating foods that other people eat.
Yeah.
Ever. So that's just part of it. Mm-hmm. Look, I usually end with this.
Yeah.
Before we end the podcast, Sabrina, I asked a question I asked earlier that I might have to take out because we didn't answer it well. If you could go back in time and meet the younger Sabrina and give her knowledge that you have now, how old would she be? Mm. And when would you go? I mean, what would you tell her and how old would she be?
How old? She would be somewhere in her teens. I think I just have to remind her that, you know, this isn't everything. You know, I very much couldn't imagine, you know, past a couple of years when I was so young. I was like, what's college, you know? Like, what's this year in high school that I'm in right now? But it's not everything, you know? There's just so much more, and it's okay not to know. You know, I'd like to tell myself that now still, but especially in her tens and her teens and moving to a new environment, and it's not everything. It's going to be okay.
That's beautiful, Sabrina. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Julie.
I want to thank all of you for watching and or listening to this podcast. And never forget, it's all on loan, so continue to reach for the stars.
Because you're too blessed to be stressed.